Thank you for that beautiful song. Well, well done. Appreciate it. Now, as we continue our studies in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, we will be looking at verses 13 through 16 this morning, entitled Jesus Teaching About Salt and Light. Now, as I study this particular passage of Scripture, of course, the Sermon on the Mount takes place through 5, 6, and 7, three chapters. You know, if you just kind of imagine sitting with Jesus there on the mount, or there on the side of the mountain, and begin to open up, you know, it says that he opened up his mouth and began to teach them. What a wonderful teacher. What great words come from the Word of God, especially when we read what Jesus has to say. And if we could only grasp these words and apply them in our lives, we would be blessed, right? Even James in James chapter 1, he says, those who do the word will be blessed. He says, those who hear the word, receive the word, we need to do that. But those who will do that, plus actually do the word, or put it to practice in their life and apply it, will be blessed. So this morning we're going to be looking at what Jesus said about we being salt and the light of the world. Jesus said that you have great things to do when I go back to the Father, and these are some of the things that we are to be doing. So begin with verse 13, Matthew chapter 5. Here Jesus is talking to the disciples and the world, all of us. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. You are the light of the world. Now, do you see what Jesus said? You are the salt of the earth. Now we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, the world is to see our good works. They are to see the good deeds that we do. And we are to be the salt. We are to put good flavor in this world to everyone that we meet, everyone we talk about, everyone we met witness to. And we are to let our light shine. We're not to hide it. We're to put it under a basket or a bushel. And this morning we're going to be looking at what Jesus has to say about the usefulness of our lives, perhaps, or even uselessness of our lives. So hopefully we will come to understand what Jesus is trying to tell us, and then we actually put our lives in that mode, in that, and put it, our lives to action according to what Jesus is saying. So if we fail to understand what he is saying right here, then as believers, we will remain as we are. We don't want to remain as we are. We want to be moving forward for the Lord, being obedient to the Lord. So first of all, let's look at what believers are. They are the salt of the earth. Now he uses one verse to talk about salt and then three others to talk about the light of the world. But first of all, Jesus says, you are the light or salt of the earth. Now I want you to think about it. So, and I'm not going through all the scenarios of how salt is used and what we do with it and all of that, but I want to apply it in the spiritual realm of what Jesus meant it to be. Because too much salt for us raises our blood pressure, right? So then we have to go on blood pressure medicine. Medicine. But salt is good, right? Jesus wouldn't have mentioned it. We ought to be conservative with whatever we do with anything we eat or whatever we do. But salt is good. And salt has been used for many cultures as a valuable commodity. And all through generations. Now, the word salary, as I was studying this, and I thought, this is interesting, that the word salary comes from the ancient word meaning salt money. Did you know that? Now, referring to the Roman soldiers, this was their allowance for the purchase of salt. So, I thought that was kind of interesting, going back to the Greek translation of exactly what some of these words mean, and then as we try to interpret these words and then apply them to our lives. Now, someone who earns his pay is still said to be what? Worth his salt. And that is true. We heard that term. Salt has also been used to express promises and friendship between people. Like you, the salt are there, and so forth. So in the Old Testament, even going back to the Old Testament, I was looking in the New Testament and looking at what Jesus was saying here. But it even goes back into the Old Testament and teaches us a valuable lesson there about salt. And we read about the covenant of salt existing between God and Israel. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by the covenant of salt?" Isn't that great? I mean, how that expression is that we have a covenant, and it involves the generations of David and all of those. And salt was commanded to be used in all grain offerings to signify Israel's covenant with God. Another analogy of how salt was used in reference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt, preservative," right? "You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering." So God loves our giving, and He has a specific way that offerings are done. It started out with Cain and Abel, and it went through Jacob and Esau, and on and on and on. All the offerings that we offer up to God has to be according to His will, but it shows the preservative and how God interacts with the covenant and promises He makes with us. So when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God made a covenant with us. And that's why He said, "You are the salt of the earth now." Going back and bringing this covenant that God made with Israel, David, his generation, and so forth. And now He's in the New Testament here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, says, "You are the salt of the earth." So when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He made that covenant with us as well. Jesus is from the lineage of David, as we read just right here. And when we are covered by His blood, think about this, by His salvation, we are covered by His blood. We are forgiven of our sin, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we are made heirs of His kingdom, God's kingdom. Heirs according to the promise. That promise he made from the very beginning in the Old Testament, it follows through with us. So we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we become children of God of Israel. We're all part of the same covenant. Think about that. God made a covenant with Israel. He made a covenant with us. And we're all together with this in God's kingdom. So when we all get to heaven, you know, we're all going to be a part of God's kingdom. We're not going to be Jews on one side and Gentiles on the other and whatever else on the other. We're all a part of the family of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. So, and the Lord has given his children dominion over the earth by the covenant of Saul. And this has a particular meaning, that we are here to preserve the earth. That's what, you know, that's not our own reason. We are to reach out and share the gospel with many people all over the world. And we are to practice stewardship of what we have been given. God gives us everything, right? Everything that we have, God has given it to us. You know, we didn't create it and make it ourselves. But God has given it to us. And he gives us the ability and the wisdom and the knowledge to preserve and use what he has given us wisely. So the responsibility that we have been given is to make this world into a better place, to share the message of salvation with the world, and to transform this world, this whole world, into a people of God. People need the Lord. We all need the Lord. And we just don't need him when we don't feel good or when things are not going our way. We need him constantly. Yep. In the good times and the hard times and the sufferings in life. We need him always.
Yep.
And that's why he said, whatever you do, you call upon my name, I will hear you. I will act upon your request. And these are the promises he gives us. And I was thinking about another huge statement that Jesus made right here in verse 13 when he said, but if the salt loses its flavor, you ever have something in the refrigerator, a drink like orange juice or Coke or some kind of beverage and you leave it in there for a long time and the cap is gone, they're real good, what happens? It loses its fizz or it loses its taste. And that's what Jesus is saying here. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And the last part of this verse is that much of the salt was discarded as worthless. And, you know, when God created us, he saw something good. He wants something, he wants the best for us. And in application, you know, we can become tainted by impurities or sins of this world. You know, temptation enters in sometimes, doesn't it? Jesus was tempted, but he used the word to correct Satan on his way of trying to get Jesus to give in to temptation and sin, but Jesus did not. And we need to do the same thing as well. That means our soul or our Christian walk, if we yield to temptation, gets contaminated. So, what Jesus is saying here, the salt which was once white or pure is now dark, dingy, and stained with sin. And when our purity becomes contaminated, when our lives become that way, we become useless, something to be thrown out or cast aside. And of course, In John chapter 14, I love that passage of scripture where it talks about that we are branches and we are attached to the vine, and the Holy Spirit, which is the sap that runs through that, keeps us attached. It feeds us and gives us the power to live the Christian life. And Jesus said to the disciples, without me, you can do nothing. And we can't do nothing without Christ. And that's why we need him. So now salt can still, even when it is thrown out, but it's not something glorious. So as Christians, we are called to make the world tastier. Now, most of us don't like anything bland, right? So we like a little salt on it, or pepper. Now, I don't take a lot of salt, but I like a lot of pepper. But, you know, salt, it makes things tastier. It gives that certain flavor. So salt is a good commodity that we have. So we are to be sprinkled on the whole face of the earth and slowly penetrate the worst tasting places on this planet and work out the ways of people and their lives and their places until those without Christ start looking unto him and are healed of their spiritual waywardness. That's, we are to keep on keeping on trying and doing our best to preserve what God has created in this world and add a little salt. Our lives being that salt of the earth to make things better. I can just see the disciples, you know, just things running through their minds about Jesus reflecting back in the Old Testament and bringing light to what he had in store for them through the following time and generations to come. Now, let's look at the believers are light of the world. Verses 14 through 16. And as I looked at this and put much thought and prayer, looking at that we are to be the light of the world, this is very important for us as believers. You know, not only for ourselves, for the world, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And according to Jesus, we are filled with light, and it is a light that is seen when we get out there into the world and that we share the love of Christ through the good works. And he used that word, good works, or good deeds. In Revelation chapter 14, 13 says that when we are laid to rest, our works are done, right? We can't do anything else. But our good deeds, is what it's saying here, follows us. So we may never know all the good things that we have done on this earth. We may not see it, but they will follow us. So if we are out there digging and planting and planting good seed and letting our light shine, guess what? The world will continue on being lit up by our good deeds in this world. See, that's what Jesus intends for each one of us to do. To leave a legacy that he is instructing us by being the salt and the light of the world. Now, in the Greek form, there's two words for good. Of course, there's 12 tenses, but there's two words here for good. And that the word of agathos, that's the word for good in the Greek, which simplifies means a thing is good in quality. Quality. We like things that are quality made. We like things that are good. And God likes us when we are good in providing the right instructions and giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ and letting them know that through him they can have eternal life, salvation. And there's also kalos, which means a thing that is not only good, but that is also winsome and beautiful and attractive. So those are the two words in the Greek form that tell us what the lie is of the word. It is good. See, God created, in the very beginning, God created heavens and the earth and all of those things in 6 days. Man, and also, and he called it all good. So this aligns with what Jesus is talking about, life itself. And he has put us into this world to make a difference, to sow the good seed of life. You know, this week, yesterday evening, I thought, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to do transplanting of my plants to get them ready to plant. And so, I got them, they were really small, tomato plants and things like that, and I transplanted them into the bigger containers, because when I pulled them out, I saw they was getting root mass, right? So I put them in new dirt and all that stuff. Well, you see, if we get root bound in our lives, we can't grow. We can't grow spiritually. We can't do anything. Same with plants and so forth. They need space. They need the nourishment. They need everything that will help them to grow, to be big and produce fruit. And see, we are the fruit. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, you know, you are the fruit of the Spirit. And when we produce good fruit, look at the harvest. When we share the good news of Jesus Christ, look at the good harvest that will come from our good deeds. Now, what does this mean about our light? Sometimes the church is like a of fireflies. How many of you have ever collected a big jar? When I was a kid, I put them in there and I just carried it. That was my life. I carried it around as a kid and I could see it dark somewhat, you know. And fascinating how God has created different things to shed light. You know, one little jar fly grows one carries their own flashlights with them. They blink, it's like turning signals that, you know, they blink. But it's amazing that you look out and you see one, it lights up a little space, but you get a big, huge amount of these, and they just light up the whole area where you are. I think it's quite amazing. And you know what they're doing? They're letting their light shine, right? They have a purpose in this life. And it teaches us a lesson that, you know, that's what we are to do as Christians. We are to let our light flash before men. We are to let people see that we are a part of what God's great kingdom. And we are letting our light shine to the point that they know that there's something good about being a part of Christ's kingdom. So lamps are designed to be put on a lampstand in full view. We are to be in full view, just like a light stand. Not to be hidden, as Jesus said. Both these words teaches, helps us realize that the value which we hold as citizens of Christ, God's kingdom, are to be found in expression of our behavior. So that our difference from men of the world still will be made plain. Through all of that, all that we do, the fine expression of our behavior makes a difference in this world when people see that we love Christ. And those who come to know us will gradually realize that we are different because our relationship with the Lord in heaven. We have that perfect relationship with Him. So the kingdom of heaven is to break into our world today through you and me. That's how God has chosen us to do that. That is our responsibility as Christians, to let our light shine, to let our life. No, that's allowing Jesus Christ to live His life through us. The more time we spend with Him and in the Word, the more time we spend with Him praying, the more we will be like Jesus. Take me back to the Transfiguration. I love that passage of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 17. And I read it quite often. And you know, when we come together, it's good that we're here, right? When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, for that particular reason, to teach them a lesson, to see His glory in full array. As they were standing there, I guess just kind of looking the area over, you have to look up, and there was who? Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus. Jesus was in full glory. And Peter looked at James and John and said, "It is good that we're here. This is wonderful." Then he got in mind, he's going to build some tabernacles and things. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And Jesus said, "No, you're missing the whole thing." Jesus wanted them to learn the reason for Him being there on that mountain, preparing for His upcoming crucifixion. The Heavenly Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." I want you to listen to Him. And when we listen to Jesus, see, we'll get the full picture of what He is saying right here in these verses. That we are to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. So this morning in our conclusion, I want you to think about your relationship. You know, I think about my relationship on a daily basis. Lord, are you... You know, there's a song, I am satisfied with you, or are you satisfied with me? You know, that's a question we might already ask sometimes. We might already sing that song. Look that song up. Satisfied with Jesus. That's the name and title of that song. You know, we need to ask the Lord if He's satisfied with us in our relationship. And do others see the light of Christ shining in your eyes from your eyes? You know, we don't want to paint a dark picture in people's lives in the way we live our life, but we want that our light to shine so everybody will see it. We need to see through the eyes and life of our Savior, the Lord, the salt of the world, and lead the lost to Jesus Christ. American Baptist Christ, the reasoning is doing a new series of conferences on leading people or reaching people in Christ, kind of a lifestyle. They held one this past week and so forth. Wherever you go, no matter in the marketplace or anywhere you go, find an opportunity to talk with people and find out where they are in their relationship with the Lord. And if you hear of a situation, if you hear of a person that God leads you to, and that has happened in my life for so many, many different times. And then in meeting this person and getting to talk to them, realize, no, they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you talk to them and able to lead them to Jesus Christ, and then a little while later, they're not here anymore. You see how God works? There's a purpose in Him using us as His salt and His light, because we never know If one person's going to be with us one day or the next. Just a friend of mine here recently found out he had cancer. In 2 weeks, he was gone. So we never know. And whatever opportunity the Lord gives us to talk to somebody about Him, we ought to do that. These two pictures of Christian in closing, salt and light, I want to kind of give you a definition of this. Salt speaks of the inward character. Think about that. Salt speaks of our inward character that influences a decaying world. You see, so our lives can help preserve others who don't know Him. And then also, light speaks of the outward testimony of good works that points to God. Remember that, okay? Salt speaks of the inward character, and light speaks of the outward testimony of good works that points people to God. That's the light. That's it outwardly. Inwardly the salt, outwardly the light. You think about that. What a great analogy of what the picture that Jesus is painting right here for us as good stewards of Christ. So our task, in closing here this morning, is to keep our lives pure that we might salt this earth and hold back corruption so that the gospel can get out to others. And then finally, our good works must accompany our dedicated lives as we let our light shine. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. All we've got to do to do it, right? Is follow the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. Oh, what a great lesson that you're teaching us here this morning about salt and light. Salt is our inward character, who we are, and who we are through you and you in us. We are one. We are the body of Christ is one. Even though God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three, you're one. You have created us to be a part of that oneness. And the life being an outward expression of the gospel that we are to share with one another. Lord, what a combination. Salt and light. And we could just comprehend the effectiveness that we can have on other people when we make ourselves available to you and you allow us to let your light shine through us. You're the big light, we are the small lights. Lord, we can let it shine for your glory. Whatever the decisions are that you've laid upon each one of us this morning, we all come in here with a particular need. We all come in here wanting to do right in this world. And sometimes we need you to nudge us or sometimes just prune us back to make us better workers, better service for you. Whatever it takes, Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us have that willingness, that willing heart and sensitivity in our lives to be open, have that compassion that your Son, Jesus Christ, had and still has for each one of us because you extend that grace and mercy to us each day. May we also extend it to others. We praise you and thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.